Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granny & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. If you're like most contractors, you have found yourself at one time or another wondering where all your money went. Sales are up, you're hiring more techs, and more product is going out the door. The question, where did all the money go? This month, Ellen Rohr is going to help you find the answer. Financial statements have often been a mystery to contractors, but this month, Ellen is going to help us understand the hidden answers that can be found in those fancy documents your accountant keeps sending you called financial statements. Ellen graduated from the University of San Diego with a degree in business administration. Like many of you, Ellen struggled for years trying to make ends meet in her plumbing and heating business. Desperate for help, she came into contact with Frank Blau, a name familiar to many listeners of this tape. Frank helped Ellen understand how to read financial statements, and he soon became her mentor. Ellen began to understand the wealth of information that could be found by reading and understanding financial statements. Her goal then shifted to helping other contractors understand their statements as well. Today, Ms. Rohr works with contractors across the country, writes articles for Plumbing and Mechanical Magazine, and works with the Contractors 2000 organization to help contractors make more money and have more fun in their business. Ellen is also the author of a brand new book called Where Did the Money Go?, excerpts of which she will be sharing on this month's tape. You will enjoy this presentation.
I know what your life is like. You're busy. The phone's ringing off the hook. You're working day and night, 20 hours a day. But at the end of the month, you go to the bank account and there's no money left. Where did the money go? This program will help you understand your financial statements, the income statement, and the balance sheet. Why do you want to do this? Well, here are several reasons. So you don't have to pretend you know how to read financials. You'll know. So you don't look stupid in front of your banker. So you can increase your net worth. So you can sleep better at night knowing where you stand financially. So you can teach your kid or your friend or your student, employee, how to keep score in business so that they can win the game too. Because you love to hear a good story or two. Because you are hell-bound on being financially successful. And you know that the really rich guys know how to read financial statements. Because you want to make a living doing what you love, but you are afraid to lose your shirt in your own business because you really don't know what you're doing. You want to understand what all those financial words like liability, equity, assets, gross margin really mean. Maybe you want to sell your company someday. You want to find out if you can afford another truck, another employee, maybe another benefit. You want to be able to determine if you're being ripped off. You want to confront the truth in your business, that maybe it's losing money, so that you can turn things around. And you want to discover the magic of accountability. Learning financial statements will give you all these things, and this program will really help you understand the words and understand what financial statements are. Let's get started. Let's find out where the money goes. Here's my story. This is why I'm doing this program today. In 1978, my husband, Hot Rod Rohr, and his buddy, Richard Yox, started a plumbing and heating company called Hot Rod and Yox. A silly name, but then they were silly guys, mostly interested in skiing in the winter and, in the summer, offering motorcycle rides to unsuspecting young women. I was one such woman and subsequently became Mrs. Hot Rod Rohr. How could I pass on a name like that? Anyway, time marched on, and Hot Rod and Yox turned their focus towards business. Some days work would get overwhelming. On a Friday afternoon in 1984, Yox complained to me about a remodeling project. He was fed up with the general contractor and our flaky employees. He said to me, "If I don't do it, it will never get done." Yox had worked 60 hours that week and wasn't feeling very well. By Saturday, Yox was in the hospital. By Sunday afternoon, he died. He'd had health problems for many years, but he didn't take great care of himself. There was too much work to do. We missed Yox. We missed his sense of humor and his goofy laugh. He and Hot Rod had been friends since they were 8 years old. But the work, well, it got done without him. Not just like he would have done it, but pretty darn close. and I try to remember Yawks whenever I'm feeling too almighty important. Yawks had been the bookkeeper at Hot Rod and Yawks Incorporated. After he died, I raised my hand to take over those duties. Hot Rod had no interest in or affinity for paperwork and was more productive out in the field. I had a degree in business administration, so I figured, piece of cake. I can handle the accounting for a dinky plumbing and heating company. Up until this time, I just ran for parts occasionally and arranged the weekly golf outing. I was excited to use my store-bought financial knowledge. Most accounting in small plumbing and heating and cooling companies is done by the plumber's wife. Why? Because she's been formally trained for a PhD financial position? Heck no, because she watches her husband struggling with the bank statement and finally says, "Honey, you go on over to Mrs. Fernwicky's and put in the new water heater. I'll finish this up." I figured I was a step ahead because of my hoity-toity business education. I was so wrong. The next few years were humbling. Every month I would ask, "Where did the money go?" I didn't know why we weren't making any money. In an effort to cut expenses, I even suggested that we stop generating financial statements more than once a year. After all, we never looked at them. Too depressing. Then, at Hot Rod's urging, I wrote a letter to Frank Blau. Hot Rod had read an article written by Frank for Plumbing and Mechanical magazine about what a contractor should charge. My letter was a request for help and a pathetic justification of why we were charging $30 an hour. Frank called me up and told me I had my head so far, you get the idea. But he was right. I spent that night burning up the adding machine and discovered what our company was costing per hour to keep it going. In truth, I got sick to my stomach. But there was no turning back. I had confronted the truth, and knowledge imposes responsibility. I called Frank up and asked him if he would help me learn to be a real business person, and Frank has been my mentor since that day. If I only knew then what I know now, that financial statements, the balance sheet and income statement, are the key to getting and staying profitable. They are the ticket to sanity in an insane world and the salvation of every struggling business. They're the scorecards in the game of business. Now I know I'm getting carried away. I'm not the type who loves numbers. I'm not neat and tidy or particularly organized. The only reason I learned about financial statements is because our company was sucking the life out of my life. I had to figure out what was going on. But what I didn't count on was that I would enjoy the process, learning to read the reports, watching them improve. It's fun to keep score. Let me help you learn to understand and use financial statements. I learned the hard way. I'd love to make it easy for you. My hope is that by listening to this tape, you'll gain a better understanding of financial statements and why you need the information they provide, a clear understanding of basic accounting terms, a commitment to generate and analyze your financial statements by the 10th of the following month to the best of your ability every single month. And I'd like you to learn some usable skills for keeping track of your business and making better management decisions. And this is what we can accomplish together. If you look at your financial statements, analyze them, ask questions, make predictions, make mistakes, fix mistakes, over the course of many months, you will become an expert on your business. Here's a quote by Hobart Brown I want you to keep in mind. Money doesn't always bring happiness. People with $10 million are no happier than people with $9 million. If you want to win at the game of business, you need to keep score. However, if you have more than enough money and your business is making your dreams come true, turn off the tape now. Unless you suspect the future may be different from the present. I wish this for you. Make lots of money, share it, spend it, save it, tithe it, have lots of fun and do lots of good with it, and have a lot of fun learning how to read your financial statements. Now, do you have any financial statements handy, your balance sheet and your income statement from your company? Pull them out if you can, if you're not driving a car, and keep them next to you as we go through this program. You will want to refer to them as you learn this information. What the heck are financial statements anyway? A huge reason why you may not understand financial information as well as you would like is that the terms are confusing and the words are weird, like vehicular depreciation. Also, there are usually several words that mean the same thing, only you don't know which ones, so you get lost and confused and feel stupid. Then you give up on the whole darn thing. Honestly, all we're talking about is keeping score. financial statements are the scorecard for your business. Usually, financial statements refer to the balance sheet and the income statement. The balance sheet is a report that shows the financial condition of the company. The income statement, also called the profit and loss, or the P&L, is the profit performance summary. Financial statements can also include documents like cash flow reports, accounts receivable reports, your transaction register, etc. Any report that measures the movement of money in your company. Financial statements are what banks want to see when they loan you money, and the IRS insists that you share the score with them, and they ask for your financial statements every year. Do you play golf, tennis, bridge? Do you ever bet on the outcome of the game? Why? Does it add to the excitement when you play for keeps? Sure. My son Max and I play basketball. The loser does the dishes. I don't know why I keep agreeing to the bet because I always lose. But it is more fun to have something on the line when we play. I love pro basketball. The pros play for keeps, and I think it makes for very exciting games. I'm a huge Utah Jazz fan. When they were in the finals against the Bulls, I pitched a tent in front of the TV. Really, I like to watch basketball on TV better than in person. I love hearing the play-by-play and color commentary by the sportscasters. During the finals, the statistical reports are constant. My heart sank as Karl Malone's dwindling free throw percentage was plastered on the screen after every trip to the line. It was fascinating to see the stats of each player, who was contributing, who was having an off game. There's no hiding from the score. Now, even though Utah had a great team, good attitudes about the game, lots of skills, solid plays, they lost the championship. Could we take the trophy from the Bulls and say, you know, the Jazz team deserves the trophy. They're such nice guys. Besides, you guys have lots of these at home. No, ma'am. The Bulls won the game. The highest score wins. Because the Bulls won, does it mean the Jazz are good-for-nothing losers? Nah, it's just a game, and they'll get to try again next year. And face it, would the game be as exciting if we didn't keep score? Would you even watch it? Would the athletes want to play? The statistics take a lot of the baloney out of the game. It works or it doesn't. The ball goes through the hoop or it misses. Do you think the simplicity of sports, the easily identified truth of sports, is what makes the game so compelling? I do. There is an entire industry devoted to keeping track of the pros. My son has a great basketball card collection. You know, the sports cards that have a high-flying picture of a basketball hero on the front and his or her statistics on the back. These cards tell you all kinds of information about what these guys have done. Points, assists, free throw percentages. The statistics tell you a lot about a player. Not everything. The financial statements are like the back of a basketball card. A single set of financial statements is like one basketball card. You can't tell if you're improving or getting worse. You don't know how you stack up against last month or last year or the rest of the business world. Your financials won't indicate whether or not you're a nice person. However, financials, especially when analyzed over time, give you incredible information about your company. Primarily, are you winning or losing? The financials are the scorecard. The financial statements represent everything in terms of money. Money isn't everything, but you need a common denominator. Money really does the job nicely. The basic arithmetic used in accounting is addition and subtraction. It's really neat and easy. It's a great system for keeping score. Now, you might say that your employees are your greatest asset. I would think highly of you if you did. In accounting, people are left off the balance sheet. It's hard to assign a dollar value to, or worse yet, claim ownership of, a human being. Still, how you spend money says a lot about how you really feel about your employees. If you love them, you will provide training, heap on generous benefits, throw parties for them now and then, and buy Girl Scout cookies from their kids. All those gestures of love are recorded on the financial statements. You know the saying, money talks. The financial statements won't tell you how to get out of a bad financial position. The clues are there, but you must make the call. And they won't tell you what lies in the future. Even the most sophisticated forecasting has a solid helping of guesswork. No, they won't tell you whether a man is good or bad, honest or dishonest, but a man's checkbook will tell you what is important to him. All in all, the financial statements tell you more about your company's performance and financial well-being than any other source of information. By analyzing the financial statements every month, you will learn to spot trends and discrepancies. A single set of statements is not enough. The financial statements are wonderful tools if you are ready and willing to use them to increase your prosperity. But if you can't accept success and wealth in your life, no amount of financial education will overcome your self-imposed limitations. You've heard the story about the fellow who wins $1 million in the lottery and then loses it a week later. Your wealth is ultimately determined by your ability to have wealth. Let me tell you about a wonderful friend of mine. Her name is Buffy Roper, and I met her when we were both coffee shop waitresses in Ocean City, New Jersey. I hated working at this coffee shop. The manager had an awful habit of referring to himself as we, and we never had enough silverware to go around. I used to keep a stash of knives in my apron to make sure my customers didn't have to pick up their chicken fried steak with their fingers. I was just about convinced getting the job was a huge mistake, but then Buffy befriended me. She is one of those extraordinary and rare people who is always, every single day, on top of the world. Buffy always had enough steak knives. Buffy was 19 when I met her. Even then, she was absolutely sure that she would have a fabulous career, marry for love, bear 6 children, be ridiculously wealthy, and travel the world. Now Buffy is 36 years old and the director of a world-class health spa facility where she often brings a few of her 6 kids, aged 1 through 8 years old, to work with her. They swim and play while Buffy works out and delegates tasks to her delightful staff. Her husband, Rick, is a peach, crazy about Buffy and their gaggle of children. He develops land tracks, big ones, when he isn't golfing or collecting antique books or working on independent film projects. Last time I talked to them, they were on their way to the Bahamas with all the kids and 2 nannies. Buffy needed a vacation as she had just completed the New York City Marathon. So you can have it all. You must be clear on what you want and address the personal issues that keep you from being successful. Spend time soul searching. What do you want to be when you grow up? What is your mission, your purpose in this lifetime? If it were simply a matter of positive mental attitude and affirmations, why, wouldn't it be easy to be successful? Yes, but we are more complicated than that. To be sure, our lack of success can be tied to ignorance of business practices. And the bigger picture issue is our lack of self-worth. This program can help you learn to use financial statements, great tools that can help you create a successful business, if you will address the personal issues that sabotage your efforts. Make sure that the bucket is fit to fill with water. Think you can be a successful, prosperous business person? Good. Then you must do what is necessary to have that which you desire. Let me introduce our first scorecard, the balance sheet. The balance sheet is like a snapshot of the business. Imagine a newborn baby. That baby's very first picture will record what he looked like on day 1 of his life. His kindergarten class photo will show you what he looks like at age 5. Every photo will capture a specific moment in time. The child's past is still visible in a current photo. The scar on his nose from a bicycle incident. The same features are there, but changed as a result of growth and activity. So the balance sheet reflects the financial condition of the company on a specific date. But the balance sheet doesn't start over. It is the cumulative score from day 1 of the business to the time the report is created. The basic accounting formula is the basis for the balance sheet. And the basic accounting formula is this: assets equals equities. Now, let's define a few words. In fact, philosopher L. Ron Hubbard says the only reason anyone gives up on a course of study is that they go past a word they don't understand. So we're going to take a lot of time to define the words that we use during the course of this program. And this will help you understand the basic accounting tools. Assets. Assets is the stuff the company owns. Anything of value. Cash, accounts receivable, trucks, inventory, land. Current assets are those that could be converted to cash easily, officially within a year's time. The most current of current assets is cash, of course. Fixed assets are those things that you wouldn't want to convert to cash for operating purposes, like your building. Equities are funds that have been supplied to the company to get the stuff. Equities show ownership of the assets or claims against the assets. If someone other than the owner has claims on the assets, it's called a liability. If you secure a loan to buy assets, this would create a liability. Because this is so common, the basic accounting formula is usually presented like this: assets equals liabilities plus equities. For example, suppose you have $5,000 under your mattress, left to you by your Uncle Harry when he died. You want to start your own business. Congratulations! You would put the money in a checking account, and you would keep track of it with your balance sheet. So this is what the balance sheet would look like. Assets equals $5,000 equals owner's equity, $5,000. If you borrowed money to start your company, you would have assets, $5,000 equals liabilities, $5,000. This is what the whole darn thing comes down to: what you have and how you got it. It's not any more complicated than that. We will use the basic equation to systematically gather all kinds of information about the company as we record its activities. The activities of a business cause increases and decreases in its assets, liabilities, and equities. Accounting uses accounts to, well, account for things and to keep track of those changes. See how simple this is? The chart of accounts is a complete listing of all the accounts in the company. It is the framework that supports the entire accounting system. Within the assets, liabilities, and equities, you can list as many accounts as you need to gather good information about the company and its activities. Your chart of accounts can be expanded and adapted to help you gather good data. When you really know what is going on, you have the basis for good management decisions. Double entry accounting is another term I'd like to define. Double entry accounting is a system used to keep track of business activities. Double entry accounting maintains the basic balance sheet equation: assets equals liabilities plus equities. It keeps your accounting system in check. Double entry accounting is based on karmic law. Double entry accounting is based on the basic laws of the universe. What comes around goes around. For every action, there is an equal reaction, in one door and out the other. This system of accounting is brilliant and logical and simple. When dollars are recorded in one account, they must be accounted for in another account in such a way that the activity is well documented and the accounting equation stays in balance. You use debits and credits to increase or decrease the accounts depending on the type of transaction. The general ledger contains the information collectively for each account. Picture the general ledger as a big book where all the accounts are listed. If you have a computerized system in the accounting program, you can run a detailed trial balance. That's a report that prints the information in the general ledger. Now check with your accountant and your own software manuals to find out where the reports are and what they are called for your accounting system. I've tried to use the most common terms, but the words can vary from program to program. The accounts and the general ledger contain the background information for the financial statements. This is where you look to find the details or uncover a mistake. Right about now, you may be asking yourself, if my accounting system is computerized, do I need to know this stuff? And the answer is yes and no. You don't need to know the fine points of bookkeeping and accounting. Your accountant does. He needs to know them, and your bookkeeper needs to know them. Your computerized accounting system will probably handle all the double entry stuff just fine. I never wanted to learn the numbers. I'm much too flighty, and my attention span is much too short for all the hard facts stuff. But I had to learn this because our business was ruining my life. Once I got into it, I found out how fun it is to keep score. I also found all the mistakes that my accountant had been making. You need to know how to read and interpret and act on the financial statements. Your assessment of the financials will be enhanced if you know what they are and how they account for different activities. A basic understanding of how a tool works will help you to use that tool better. It may be that you are the bookkeeper and accountant for your company. If so, this overview of double entry accounting will help you to see the framework on which all your data entry hangs. This will make it easier to correct erroneous information. Could it be that you have some reports that you don't trust? Do you want to change your accounting to generate better managerial data? An understanding of double entry accounting will help you to fine-tune your information. You need to know that the information you get from your financials is correct. I would lay $1,000 down that you will find major information that is just plain wrong in your financials once you start checking them on a regular basis. Common problem? Garbage in, garbage out. Unless the data entry person knows where the data is supposed to be entered, your information will be worthless. You don't need to know everything about accounting. You do need to know how to read your financial statements, and you still need a good accountant. Let's discuss a little bit more about assets and liabilities. As far as assets go, not all assets are the same. Cash is king. Cash is so useful. On the other hand, your truck, though also an asset, is not as flexible. You don't want to sell your truck and use the cash to pay the phone bill. Make sense? So we categorize the assets. Cash and other assets that could be converted to cash within a year's time are called current assets. Current assets include cash, the green stuff, and coins, money in the bank. Accounts receivable are also a current asset. When you do the work today and someone promises you they will pay you for that work next month, that promise is called an accounts receivable. It's a current asset because by next month, you hope, it will be paid and then turned into cash in the bank. Inventory is considered a current asset. When you buy inventory, the idea is to sell it and the labor to install it and create cash or accounts receivable. Assets that are not as easily converted into cash or shouldn't be sold just to create cash are called fixed assets, and they include your vehicles, tools, building, land. Those assets are best used for operating the business and doing the work, not for selling in order to create cash to pay the bills. Make sense? Let's discuss liabilities. Liabilities are also broken down into two basic categories. Current liabilities are short-term liabilities, obligations that are due within the next 12 months. Long-term liabilities are obligations that give you more than a year to pay them back. Current liabilities include accounts payable. When you buy something from somebody, like materials for a job, you may promise to pay them within 30 days, and that promise is called an account payable. Sales tax and payroll taxes may also be accounted for as payables. So it's important to watch the amounts in the current assets and the current liabilities accounts. You need more in current assets than in current liabilities, or you will be unable to pay your bills. This measurement of current assets to current liabilities is called your current ratio. Current assets to current liabilities is your current ratio. You will sleep better at night if you can maintain a 2-to-1 current ratio. In other words, aim for twice as much in current assets as you owe in current liabilities. If you want your bank to loan you money, they will look at your current ratio to determine your ability to pay your bills on time. The current assets and current liabilities are found on your balance sheet. Let's play with a couple of what-if transactions and see how they would affect your business. What if you wanted to borrow $1 million for a new building? Could you? What if your buddy Phil wants to invest $40,000 into the company? What if you can get a great deal on low flush toilets? If you buy 100 of them, you only pay $50 each. Is it a good deal? What if you fill your propane tanks in July and then you only pay 65 cents per gallon of propane as opposed to the $1.39 per gallon you expect to pay in December? Should you stock up? These questions affect the cash flow at your company. What are the cash flow implications of all of these activities? Cash flow is the movement and timing of money in and out of the company. It's also called the heartbeat of the business, cash flow. Could you have lots of cash on hand and still be losing money in your business? Yes. Could you be profitable, but your checking account is empty? Yes. This brings us to cash basis or accrual basis accounting. Which do you use at your company? Let me define the terms. Cash basis accounting is when you account for your business activities. No adjustments are made for prepaid expenses or unearned income. You record the transaction in full on the day the money shows up or leaves the company. As opposed to accrual basis accounting, this is when you account for your business activities, you adjust for prepaid and unearned items. Under this basis, revenues or sales are credited to the time period in which they are earned, and expenses are credited to the time period in which they are incurred. Phew, lots of mumbo jumbo. Let's use an example to clarify. Let's say you need propane heat at your shop. To take advantage of the summer selling price of the fuel, you buy a year's supply of propane in July and write a check for $2,000. Now, with cash basis accounting, you would expense the entire amount in the month the check was written, July. With accrual basis accounting, you would determine how much fuel would be used each month and expense that amount each month. By either exact fuel monitoring or a well-thought-out guess, you can account for a portion of the fuel expense each month. However, for managerial reasons, your accounting information should always be calculated on an accrual basis. Why? Because it's more accurate. It shows a truer picture of what's happening at your company. Okay, I'm going to give you a bonus round question now. What is the net equity in your company? Now remember that total assets equals total liabilities plus net equity. If you can do a little math with me, then you'll realize that total assets minus total liabilities equals your net equity or your net ownership in your company. Be aware that net worth is not what a company is worth. Would you like to sell your company someday? Great. Be aware that the selling price of your company will not be your net worth, but will be based on your ability to generate money. Profit. That is the breath of life for your company. The next scorecard I'll introduce is the income statement. The income statement tells you a lot about what's happening at your company. Here's an appropriate quote by Edward Gibbons. I am indeed rich, since my income is superior to my expense, and my expense is equal to my wishes. That's a good description of the income statement. The income statement is also called a profit and loss statement, or a P&L, sometimes called a statement of operations. It's a report that shows the changes in equity in the company. Expenses are decreases in equity, revenues are increases in equity, and the basic equation for the income statement is revenues minus expenses equals profit. Money in minus money out equals profit. If expenses are greater than revenues, we get a negative profit, also known as a loss. The income generated during the month gets transferred to the balance sheet at the end of the month. In fact, the income statement is like a magnifying lens on the activities that affect the changes in the equity of the company. The profits from the month increase the equity of the company. Hooray! A loss, however, results in decreases in equity. You see, the income statement and the balance sheet are connected. The net profit dollar amount of the income statement is called current earnings on the balance sheet. You see, the net change in the equity section of the balance sheet is net profit. The cumulative account for all the earnings of the company is called retained earnings. At the end of the year, current earnings numbers move down to the retained earnings spot in the equity section. Why? Well, they're not current anymore. A balance sheet gives you a snapshot of the company's financial well-being, and the income statement shows you revenues and expenses over a period of time, usually over a month or a year, although you can generate income statements every day. Understanding and analyzing your income statements can help you with these decisions. How much do I need in sales to achieve my goals? Is my selling price adequate? Am I spending too much or too little on advertising or benefits or any other expenses? The income statement answers the question, where did the money go? The income statement tells you how much money you made or lost during the accounting period. Suppose you were to buy a water heater for $100, then install it, and charge your customer, let's pull something out of the air, $300. You figured there must be some cost associated with your labor, but $300 should cover it, okay? You would record the sale on the income statement as $300 in sales. Then subtract the water heater cost of $100, and that leaves you with $200, right? Wow, this business is easy. It's easy to make money. However, if this was all there was to it, then the world would be full of prosperous businesses. How could you lose? In reality, most businesses fail, breaking their owners in the process. What happens? Well, most business owners don't understand and account for the indirect costs of doing business when they set their selling prices. There are direct costs. These are also called job site expenses, costs of goods sold. And there are indirect costs, also called overhead. While you are out selling and plumbing, bills are being delivered to your home office. Telephone bills, printing, yellow page ads, insurance. Your income statement needs to be expanded to include all the expenses associated with doing business. In reality, there are a lot of expenses involved in running your company. Certainly, you're aware of the materials and the labor costs. These expenses are directly related to specific jobs, and they're called job site expenses, cost of goods sold, or direct costs. Those are the easy ones. We all know about that. The other expenses involved in operating the company are called overhead or indirect costs. These expenses are indirectly related to jobs. Indirect costs include advertising, insurance, office expenses, donations, truck repairs. The list goes on. These costs are often overlooked or discounted by folks who don't look at their financials. In fact, it is likely that your indirect costs exceed your direct costs. Unless you take a look at your total cost of doing business, your out-of-the-blue selling prices will sink your company. After a few months of operating, the indirect costs will take all of your cash and put you further in debt. Then you will shake your head and wonder, where did the money go? When business owners make up selling prices, and most do, you're not alone, they trot out this silly phrase as their reasoning, I charge what the market will bear. Sadly, virtually all business literature and most accountants and bankers will back up this going rate theory. You will be instructed by professionals to establish a selling price that is within a percentage point or two of what everyone else in the market is charging. May I suggest that if most businesses fail, about 80% in the first few years are either out of business or losing money. It is foolish to base your financial well-being on what the other guys are charging. What makes you think the fellow down the road has any idea what he is doing? Sure, he's busy. Busy isn't so hard. Creating and sustaining profits and developing careers for you and your staff, there's the rub. When creating selling prices, base them on your real costs of doing business, including fair compensation for you and your hardworking employees, not on what the market will bear. Consider what the market will bear. $20,000 for a Rolex watch? $125 for a cigarette lighter? $4 for a six-pack of soda? The market is not strictly price-driven, or even primarily price-driven. This is what it takes to make money in your business. Listen closely. Develop a fair price based on your costs, and present your products in such a way that value outweighs price. That's it. That's the formula for making money in your business. Why is this what the market will bear nonsense so ingrained? Ignorant men will defer to the opinion of experts, and some experts in accounting will tell you silly rules like, take your cost of product and double it to create a selling price. Or find out what others in the industry are charging and then charge less. Or if you're not making any money, cut down on your expenses, including your salary. These suggestions are not based on fact, yet I have heard every single one of them from accountants. You need to know what your costs are, then create a selling price that will cover all those costs plus profit. let me explain the difference between managerial accounting and Uncle Sam accounting. I have a savvy friend, Manola Robeson of Atlanta, Georgia, and she has a nice way to help you understand the difference between the kind of accounting that the government needs to see on your tax returns and the kind of accounting that will give you the information you need to run your business. Manola says that your accountant wants to make sure that you comply with IRS regulations. There are rules that you must follow with Uncle Sam accounting. By the time your accountant has ensured that your financials are ready for Uncle Sam, they may be old news. Uncle Sam accounting has an outside orientation, meaning that the financials are generated for the government and the bankers, not for you. Managerial accounting has an inside orientation. This financial information is generated to help you manage your company. You want news hot off the press so you can make informed decisions as quickly as possible. Now, I'm not suggesting the old two sets of books here. Your managerial information is not at odds with your Uncle Sam information. Rather, it is quickly gathered and analyzed for in-house management. The Uncle Sam version waits for the dust to settle from the previous month and focuses on tax law compliance. Here's a nice illustration of the difference between managerial information and Uncle Sam accounting. Your accountant will structure your income statement to determine profits before taxes. Why? Because that's the information he uses to determine what your tax liability is. You, however, also need to look at your post-tax profit. Is it enough? How much do you need to charge to make it all work? What changes can you make today? Make sure your inside accounting gives you the information that you need. Taxes are a cost of doing business and need to be figured into the selling price of your services. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard a contractor say, "I was doing really great this year, but then the IRS took it all." You can only guess at many costs when you look into the future, but taxes? Count on them, for crying out loud, and price your services accordingly. Now, see, left to his own devices, your accountant will probably list all the expenses of the company in one section below sales in the income statement. Maybe he separated the materials and called it cost of goods, but that information is too vague and too general for use in decision-making at your company. I suggest you add more accounts to the income statement and gather more information. Divide expenses into two categories, direct costs and indirect costs. Why is that helpful? Well, as a manager, you need to know how much money it takes to cover the indirect costs or the overhead every month. Busy or slow, the indirect costs are racking up hour by hour. How much does it take to crack the nut each month? Without sales, the direct costs of materials and labor go away. No problem. Ah, but not so with the indirect costs or the overhead, and you better know how much you need to run your company every month. Be sure to include the owner's salary in indirect costs. Why? Well, the owner is entitled to compensation for all the administrative functions he performs at the company. As the owner, you need a salary that compensates your work as a manager, and your owner's salary is an indirect cost, an overhead item. You should be paid busy or slow. When you look at your income statement, notice that after you subtract direct costs from sales, you arrive at gross margin. It's also called gross profit. Now, I don't like the term gross profit. It leads folks to think that they may have some real profits at this point and may not be the case. So I prefer gross margin. At the gross margin point, you subtract the indirect costs to find net profit. If your gross margin is really solid, you may have enough to cover all those indirect overhead costs and generate respectable profit. How much gross margin is enough? As you become proactive with your company's financials, you will understand what you need to achieve your goals. Net profit is the bottom line. It's also called net earnings or net income. This is the real profit figure after all expenses have been deducted, and this is my favorite statistic. You'll remember that this figure connects the income statement to the balance sheet. The net profit dollar amount is the current earnings dollar amount on the balance sheet. As the income statement is really a look at the change that takes place in the equity section of the balance sheet, The net profit is the net change in equity. Now, let me give you a brief lecture on why you need profit and owner salary. Most business owners mistakenly believe that they will gather up all the profit left at the end of the year, stuff it in their pockets, and consider themselves compensated. This is wrong. The company is a separate, living, growing entity, and profit fuels your company's growth. If you choose to buy a new building or buy a company to do the air conditioning portion of your work, you finance the company's growth with profit. You can share the profit with your employees via a profit-sharing plan. As an owner, you're entitled to a return on your investment for your risk and exposure as an investor. Your salary compensates you for the headache, heartache, time, risk, and energy that you put into the company. Your salary provides for you and your family, so you need both profit and salary. Now, let's look back at the income statement for a minute. Let's look at the duties that you perform at your company. Sometimes you're doing service work, and sometimes you're performing administrative tasks. So your time should be split up into the direct costs and into the indirect costs. Now, what your accountant won't tell you about determining the billable hour. Unless you purposefully train your accountant to do otherwise, he will lump all payroll expenses together. But sometimes you are turning wrenches or selling, and sometimes you're running for parts, cleaning up, training, standing by, answering the phone. You're limited to what you can sell based on the number of labor hours you have. To understand what's happening in your business, you need to know how much time you are generating sales compared to all your other duties. You need to track your employees' time as well. Using a service company example, suppose the service technicians are available for calls 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, a total of 40 hours each. Of those 40 hours, each technician will generate some time for which you are able to bill the customer via an invoice. The hours that are billable to the customer are called billable hours. If you sell services by the hour, the number of billable hours at your company is the variable with the biggest impact on your financial statements. As a service company, you need to look at the daily timesheets and the number of hours billed via the invoice. Remember to compare the number of hours spent on a job to the number of hours billed on that job. If you have a computer system that can help with this task, fine. If not, use a columnar pad or a simple spreadsheet program. Now, here's a question you may be thinking. Can I charge $50 per billable labor hour, but then make up the difference in material? My friend, if your customers were looking for material only, would they call you? Can you compete with a warehouse supplier or home center on a straight material sale? Suppose your customer asked you for a hose bib. Isn't it more realistic that you would be asked to install the hose bib? Maybe your homeowner got the hose bib somewhere else. But your value in the marketplace is your ability to install, not supply, the material. You can generate profits from material sales, but I recommend that service providers price to cover your overhead via the billable labor hour. Cover your assets. That way, if you don't get the material sale, you still win. Are you willing to lose money on every low material job? If not, price your billable hour to cover all the costs and generate profit. Then the material sales are gravy. Remember, your customers value your ability to put the darn thing in or figure out the problem. The primary widget in the service industry is the billable hour. After all, you couldn't sell and install 15 water heaters in a single day. You only have 24 hours. If you could sell unlimited materials, you would be in a different position. But installed materials impose labor hours, and you only have so many labor hours per day. You know, there is a widely accepted misunderstanding about small shop operators that I want to do my best to clear up. And here it is. I run a small shop, so my overhead is low, and that's why I can charge a low price. This is sheer nonsense. In terms of total dollars spent on overhead items, as a small shop owner, you will spend less than a large shop, but a small shop owner has fewer billable hours. Non-billable hours and other overhead expenses must be loaded up onto the billable hours and then passed on to the consumer. A larger shop may spend more dollars on indirect expenses, but they can also spread those dollars over many more billable hours. In fact, it is common for a small shop to have higher costs per billable hour than a large shop. And you need to create a selling price that covers all your costs of doing business and is based on a realistic number of billable hours. This is it. This is a key to making all the money you want in your business. This is how to make it fun to go to work. Your selling price needs to be based on your costs of doing business and applied to a reasonable number of billable hours. Then you will have a fighting chance at making your dreams come true. Here's a simple break-even formula. Break-even is the point where you cover all your costs, but you haven't yet generated a profit. You need at least break-even to be able to pay all your bills. It's a nice number to know. To determine your break-even, forget about materials for a minute and let's just look at the labor. The direct costs plus the indirect costs equal your total cost to recover. That's your break-even point. All your costs of doing business. Now you would take that break-even dollar amount and divide it by the number of hours you could possibly bill, and that will give you your break-even cost per billable hour. That's a really nice number to know when you go to create a selling price. It's got to be higher than your break-even cost per billable hour. Let's summarize. You can use your financial statements to help you create a selling price that is not just pulled out of thin air, to develop a budget with an eye to actual costs. You can use them to set sales goals. Do you see how the scorecard leads you to management decisions based on fact, not fiction? Do you see how sane this is? You see, concise, consistent data is the key. There is no perfect way to keep score. You just need to get started, get knee-deep in it, and do it over and over every month. With practice, you will become an expert. Of course, there is lots more to learn. I hope you listen to this tape several times, as there are a lot of words to find, and you might need to go over it more than once. So, where did the money go? Well, now you know that the money goes to paying all the costs of doing business. And even in the smallest home-based companies, most of the money goes to the indirect costs of doing business, to overhead, to the little bills that filter in while you are busy doing the selling and servicing. And not enough money goes to you, the owner. You have all the risk and headache, and usually you are the last person paid. Sometimes you don't get paid at all. Traditional business advice is, if you aren't making enough money, cut your overhead. Really? Can you offer less money to the power company than the total amount due on your utility bill? The only person who would take less if you choose to cut overhead is you, and that doesn't seem fair to me. My friend, I suggest that your overhead is not large enough. Owner's salary is an overhead item. So are benefits to you and to your employees. Your salary and benefits are probably way too low, and that's why you picked up this tape in the first place. Use this tape to discover and use your financial statements. They are the scorecard of your business. By merely paying attention to the score, your score will improve. My friend Mark Victor Hansen says, that which you recognize, you energize. I wish you courage and strength and tenacity. You will need these things when you realize you need to raise your prices. I suspect that that is what you'll find once you get familiar with your financial statements, your company's scorecard. If you are going to charge more, then you are going to have to give more. More service, love, attention, good manners, value. Customers will gladly pay you for those things. Business can be a fun game where all the players can win. The owner, employees, customers, suppliers, the community, and the universe. I wish you love, peace, and prosperity.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. A postage paid response card is also enclosed. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.